Are you ready? Can't crush us. It don't really get no better than this, the podcast that you're looking for. If you're really heavy into wrestling, hosted by the Mark. Energy that's so amazing, gotta keep it entertaining. Rep the Can't Crusher Nation. Yeah, you know what's going down in the ring. Lights out when you hit a ding ding. Knock them out like boom bada bing. Hold it down, you can crown me the king. Gotta shout out to the Miz and Duke the Dumpster. We choke slamming everybody, power driving, hit them with a face buster. Yeah, yeah, this the show you need. And it ain't no need for waiting. Mark, hold it down for the Can Crusher Nation. All about wrestling and keep it entertaining. Can Crushers Wrestling Podcast. Time to break them. Let's go. Yeah, 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 yeah. Can Crushers. Yeah, 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 yeah. Can Crushers. Let's go.
Hello. Just doing whatever here on Wrestling Talk today. Blah, blah, blah.
I was going to say hello, but you took the words right out of my mouth. What are we doing?
First of all, welcome to Can Crushers Wrestling Podcast.
Yeah, welcome
to the morning after WrestleMania 1 and a morning after a lot of wrestling in the Marnez house. I'm Mark the Mark. That's Sir Michael Jenks in a place undisclosed this week.
Undisclosed. I'm hidden away and further, deeper parts unknown. So
for real.
Yeah, for real. Actually, it's literally situated in the middle of woods. So it's kind of fantastic. But yeah. I feel outside.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah.
Jenks, before we get into wrestling and everything, we got to do what we got to do. How was your week?
You know, the week was good. A lot of excitement this week, getting prepared, making moves at work, hopefully here in the near future. So doing stuff with that. A lot of nitro consumed in my house this past week. And not nitro coffee or nitro
glycerin,
beer or nitro glycerin. It's a lot of WCW nitro has been kicked off in my house this week. So going through the old classics, watching pay-per-views too, when there's time available and that, just having it run. Outside of that, exciting stuff that is to come for Can Crusher Nation too. I think without giving away too much.
Oh, we're going to touch on. Oh no, we're going to give it away in a minute.
I figured so, but I just wanted to put that little spoiler and that little tea out there for everybody. But you know, the week was good. Nothing too much to write home about, to be honest. How about you?
Well, wait a minute. Slow your roll, kid. Slow your roll.
What?
What has made you dive back into Nitro? I mean, I understand this. And if you're looking for WrestleMania shit, people, move along. We have way too much to cover. We have nothing to cover this week. But we're not covering WrestleMania twice.
Well, that's exactly. We talked about that last week, I think. We mentioned we're not going to do WrestleMania 2 weeks in a row. It's going to be everything's on one night, one thing. What made me dive into Nitro?
Yeah.
Mark, there was, I've had this thought many moons ago. It was a few years ago. I wanted to start watching every Nitro from the beginning to the end because there was periods of time where I didn't watch Nitro. I knew it happened. I just didn't watch it. So in my mind as a wrestling fan, I wanted to go back. I have access to it. Put it on in the background when I'm working or just doing stuff at work that I can
watch. When you're watch working, Nitro that's it. Good.
Well, hey. Hey,
yo.
AO. But so I wanted to always go back, watch Nitro, watch WCW through those years. And so I decided to finally just do it, bite the bullet and do it. It almost became a goal of mine before I was 40 to rewatch every Nitro.
That's crazy. That's really cool. But it also, as we are not going to talk about WrestleMania, but I will make hint to WrestleMania, perfect time to start this. Because as we all know, there's a WrestleMania crash that comes for the next couple months that you're like,
yep.
Oh boy, what are we going to get? Because the writing's on the wall that there's going to be several rematches at WrestleMania Backlash already after night one.
Oh yeah. And I mean, yeah, you can call them out as we go through it. And if you've already watched WrestleMania, you know exactly which matches they are. So it's more or less, why not kick off something that I know I'll enjoy at some junctures and sometimes be painfully crying through as I rewatch how bad it was way back when.
You have 83 weeks that are going to fucking kick ass, so I'll tell you that.
I know. And I'm looking forward to that. I haven't got that at 95 yet. So we're still in 1995. I forgot it was only an hour when it first started.
Yeah.
That's how long it's been since I have actually even thought about that first year or so of Nitro. It was only an hour long.
Damn.
So
I might have to dabble into some of these. Just, and not say I want the big ones. Just randomly pick, watch every Nitro that happened in March. Just because March is my favorite month. I don't know.
That's fair.
Yeah, I don't fucking know.
I will say this. Surprisingly enough, the Dungeon of Doom is not my favorite storyline.
I don't believe why.
I don't know why. But no, it was the Horseman story. So it was Flair turning, baiting his thing and then turning on him at Halloween Havoc. I remember that happening at one point. I did not recall the build up to it with him and Arn and then Pillman coming in and that whole thing building up to Halloween Havoc. I forgot that build up and it actually made the turn even more better. I knew it was coming, but I loved it nonetheless still 26 years later. So
this is perfect timing, Jenks, that you bring this up about the whole Nitros and going back and watching WCW. After next week, I'll continue to say this probably for another 2 weeks. After next week, like a lot goes downhill. I think
right. We
bring back and do an old watch-along. And it should be a WCW one since that's what you're doing. I might have to make you skip around.
That's fine. I will definitely do that. Because my goal is to do it. If you want to do a watch-along, let's do it. Because I would love to provide commentary on some of these things. I'm glad we've gotten through the Dungeon of Doom, most of the Dungeon of Doom stuff so far. Because I think it tails off after Halloween Havoc. But
yeah.
And the Yeti.
Yeti.
I'm glad we didn't do that. Because I could not deal with the Yeti.
So, all right. Now jumping around. So
what's up with you?
What's up with me?
Yeah.
Well, I had a couple interviews this week, and we'll get to those. Take a shot early this morning.
We'll get there.
Yeah, we'll get there. You heard the one on Wednesday that I was really pumped about with Haley Shadows. That was done Monday, and that was really fun. A really fun interview. Me and you did one.
Yeah.
And then that was a fucking epic, and you're not going to hear about it until maybe the second segment, but we'll make reference to it.
Right.
And my third one actually got canceled because she decided to do some WrestleMania stuff, promoting, which that clearly makes sense. But it's not canceled, right. It's just rescheduled. It's going to happen sometime this week. And that's another personal one. So I'm excited to do it, but I know I will shed tears because it relates to stuff. Otherwise, Mr. Jenks, you did see both tournaments were posted this week. We have a heavyweight champion in Can Crushers, and we have a women's champion. Both people that won the Rumble won the championship. A little disappointed in that. Dolph Ziggler and Liv Morgan, are you there?
Yeah, I'm there.
Okay.
I was getting a hug.
She was really happy about Liv Morgan.
She was, Liv. Yeah, so Dolph and Liv are the champion. You were not too happy about that when I talked to you.
The Dolph Ziggler one, I guess I was alright. Clearly, if you watch the videos now, they've been up for a couple days. I was clearly pulling for Brody King. Shocker. The women's could have went either way. I don't know if there's nothing against Liv.
Yeah.
There was other people in the tournament that I really wanted to win more. That just didn't happen.
I mean, you had a lot of A-plus players in that tournament, for sure.
Yeah.
But, you know what? I like the Liv. Liv's finally getting the push she deserves with the King Crushers title, I guess. But now, where do you go from here, Mark? I think that's the question here.
Well,
where are we going from here with the Can Crusher universe?
This week we have the tag team title tournament. I'm getting all the tournament, the champions crowned first.
Okay, that's fair.
So this week we're going to have the tag team titles tournament. I'm not guaranteeing two like I did last week because that turned into a shit show of trying to get two in. And it wasn't really major family things. It was when I decided to do it, people decided not to go to work and then wash the dogs in that 2-hour span that I was going to record.
I mean, that makes sense.
She's heard that now, so I will get beat to hell once she gets home. No, she's at work.
It was nice to know you, Mark. Good luck.
Right? Sometimes your mouth just doesn't shut up, Mark.
Sometimes it just goes. But you're good. All right, so go on.
So I did those. It was Friday night. Friday night I had a rough mental health night. Kelly said I was up a couple times. And when I do those in the middle of the night, I don't remember. We always are very, very transparent on this show. So I guess I had 2 episodes. And when I did wake up Saturday morning, was I feeling like I was run over by a tractor trailer, tank, train, something. So I thought, I asked Kel, I'm like, did I have a bad night? She's like, yeah. I said, I need to keep busy today. She's like, what are you going to do? I said, well, I'm going to watch pay-per-view. I'm going to watch... She's like, WrestleMania's on. I said, yeah, but it only really starts at 6 o'clock.
Right.
I had the Hall of Fame to watch because I didn't watch that live.
Okay.
But I did watch it. We're going to talk about it. I watched the Hall of Fame. I watched... had Stand and Deliver on. Can't tell you. I can't tell you what happened because then I engulfed myself into other things.
Then I did not even watch, to be honest.
Yeah, but go ahead. It was on.
Yeah.
And then I started just playing wrestling on YouTube, like documentaries and stuff. As I completely ripped everything down in the studio and repositioned it.
Really?
Everything. Everything. When I first started putting stuff in the studio, my Ric Flair, caricature picture was the center of attention, and I wanted to build, okay, now I want the Horseman. I had that in the middle, which is probably like a 16 by 24 or something like that. Not a major picture, but it's something to me. I made that the middle, and then I build off of it, but I had to have the Horsemen around him, and then I had to have their fucking people that they feuded with around it. It was just pictures just any which way, and there was a lot of dead space. It sat like that for 2 years, and it pissed me off because I'm anal retentive.
So why didn't you do it for the past 2 years, though? Too much going on?
I was lazy. I was lazy.
I mean, I get that. I'm the same way, so...
So, yesterday was my day. I ripped everything off the wall. Started actually on a side and said, nothing is going to be the center of attention. We're going to get this to work. And I'm going to gloat because this is the best this goddamn studio has looked ever. I have all my big pieces, on a wall that looks really cool. Yeah, I have, like, the women's division, I have an EC, and I didn't plan this, I was just grabbing pictures, not really caring, just making, and it's not really symmetrical or anything like that, but it looks great, and by doing this, and expanding a little bit, I have more room in the studio now for more pictures, so be prepared. Kelly's pissed.
AKA Kelly, be prepared.
Yeah, she's but like, now what? I'm like, look at how much more room for activities I have.
Oh, my God. So, I guess the question... So you did it by division. And are we going to get a reveal here? Are we going to find out what this looks like?
We should. Yeah, that's a good idea.
Because it sounds fantastic. And I'm surprised you got more room out of it. Moving all the pictures around, was it just the way you set it up?
Yeah, really is. I mean, I guess if you want to stay symmetrical, it is very... I did try to eliminate spaces, and I don't have to have... Hey, the Rock and Roll Express feuded with the Arn and Telly. They need to be beside each other, or this needs to be here, or, Sheeta needs to be this place. So I'm like, no, this is just... Yeah. There's one section that you can clearly tell is my favorite section because I have Sasha, Bailey, Chelsea, AJ and Thunder Rosa legit right on top of each other, like boom. And it's in viewing vision of video game playing too. So,
You have it in sight at all times.
All times. I'm looking right at it now as I'm doing the podcast. I will reveal what's going on in here. It's amazing.
Okay, I can't wait to see that.
Kelly even said this looks better. Oh, thanks. You could have helped me 2 years ago.
Yeah. Now, what would have been the fun in that?
Right, yeah. But wrestling was on in my house yesterday from 7 a.m. until 1:45 this morning. That's all that was on.
Wow.
Yeah, because I had watched the weekly stuff, and then I decided I'm going to watch Stand and Deliver, and then I'm going to watch the Hall of Fame, and then WrestleMania. Yeah. But I'm ready for night two. I might actually find something else. I'm going to watch a couple Evils this afternoon because they were pretty awesome.
That's good. I got to jump into the Evil series to see what that's all about. You said you already watched. Well, you told me, sneak peek, you already watched one episode of it, correct?
Yeah, watched the Hulk Hogan one last night.
Yeah. So,
yeah.
I can't wait to see that. I'm excited for night two. I'm also excited that I get to send my beautiful girlfriend pictures of the outfits to get ratings on them. So she was grading everybody's outfits as they were coming out last night.
Are we getting that next week?
I will give synopsis picks for night two. I remember certain ones of night one. So yeah, we'll get some grading on outfits as well.
Okay. Excellent. Excellent. By the way, I hated them all for the most part. All of them.
I think we agreed that all of them were not great. Okay. Besides Austin's. I mean, shorts and a t-shirt, you can't go wrong.
Yeah.
But we did get a review that Ronda's was the most practical of all the women's outfits that were out there. And I have to concur.
Yes.
So.
All right, that's our teaser for next week. Great spotlight coming up Wednesday. That's another hint, but it's not coming out yet. What else? That's about it on the week stuff. But we did miss a few things last week, and we should probably start there, Jenks, right?
Yeah, we did. We missed a big thing last week.
Three big things. What are you talking about?
Three big things. Where do you want to start?
Either one. You lead the way, because I'm sure we all have a lot to say. The two of us have something to say about all of them, so go ahead.
Yeah, I think I'm going to start with the retirement announcement that I think we figured was coming at some point, but finally came down last week on, I think it was First Take. So Triple H announcing his retirement after, 26 years?
Yeah.
In the ring. That, not surprising, like I said, after the cardiac incident last September with him, but end of an era. Really is, you know, you always had that card to fall back on. And while Triple H was never my favorite, he was still entertaining and I still watched when he was on screen. He drew that much to him and he was an integral part of the Attitude Era and their eventually beating WCW with the creation of DX. And
yeah, thank you. That's
rivalry with The Rock and that. He essentially catapulted with Austin, with Rock, with Taker, them through those dark times and eventually win against WCW.
From being the American blue blood in WCW, mm-hmm. or what the hell is this, Hellraiser, Raising Hell?
Terrorizing.
Terrorizing, yeah. Thank God, yeah. He never stuck with that. There was always something about him that I always liked. I was a fan of Triple H. The blue blood thing, I'm gonna be shallow and a dick right here. With that nose, he looked completely like he stuck it up at everybody, being from Greenwich and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
That was perfect for him to become huge. And it did. Yep. It got him into a different stratosphere from terrorizing. Yep. Then he comes over, and being Triple H for a while, cool. That DX thing is what catapulted him. to stardom. Mm-hmm. But when he became the Game, you know, and was it Motorhead? Is that the band?
Yeah.
Those, minus the time that Stephanie was hanging on the back of the Harley, which I'm looking like in trailer park trash. Like, I enjoyed his WrestleMania entrances. I loved the spit in the water. If mm-hmm. you've heard it, that my friend Pat Lupino cannot drink water and spit it. He's a swallower. Stupid stuff. How many times have you drank a bottle of water and spit it just to be Triple H elite, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And I've had a friend do it. Not any of the ones you know, Mark, but a friend do it in grade school. He took pop, put it in his mouth, and spit it all over like Triple H in the middle of a bowling alley. Like, that's how... I mean, we would watch wrestling when we were younger, but that's one of the core memories that I remember, is this kid just spitting pop everywhere in the middle of a bowling alley.
Pop is horrible. Why would you
say it was? I don't know.
You're just sticky, man.
He doesn't make good decisions.
I should probably meet this friend then, because I've been there.
I don't know. Yeah, we'll introduce you to him. Okay. You've heard of him at least a couple times.
Oh, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
But he's had classic matches, and you brought up the end of an era, which it was referenced Friday night as well, which we'll talk about. That was a huge end of an era match. Him, Taker, and Shawn as referee, and they hugged on the way going out. I thought, yeah, maybe that was a time all three of them should have stepped away for a much longer time.
Right.
They didn't. And then you get some of the Saudi stuff with Triple H. What has gone wrong, and Shawn and Taker and everything. So I think they're all a little tainted by that. But Triple H did what he had to do. He was, when he was a wrestler, yeah, he always had the silver spoon from the McMahons or the golden spoon or whatever you want to say. I'd like to see Trips run his own thing again for a while. I really would. I mean, not break away from his father-in-law, or if he does, cool, whatever. I think he's got the mind. I really do. And it's sad that if he's going to step completely away from wrestling, good. Because there's a lot of stress in it. There really is. I can only imagine his heart, you know. I'd want, you know, him around in life for his family and everything. And if he forgets about wrestling, cool. Don't kill yourself over a business that will kill you. But if you're feeling okay... You know, we'd love you to be hanging around a little bit.
Well, that's exactly it. And, you know, he has to do his best. And I think when he was talking about it, it was like, it was only, his heart was only operating at like 10% or something like that, whatever that ridiculous number was. But Mark, you brought up a good point. We talked about his career. We didn't even talk about NXT and how he built that up until last year. Essentially, he built that from the ground up and made it a must-watch product for several years in WWE.
More than the main brand.
I was just going to say that. For me, I watched NXT more than the main brand because I was invested in those characters, in those people, because it reminded me. It was like having a wrestling company within WWE. It didn't feel like sports entertainment. It felt like it was an actual wrestling company for us to watch. And I would love for him to get another crack at running his own organization. You're right. He has the mind for it, and he has done so much for the younger talent. You could make an argument for during his career he didn't, but for some people in particular. But when it came to pushing that younger talent and getting them in the position to succeed in NXT, he did wonders for him. And those individuals were very talented, but he helped get them to the next level, along with a lot of the other coaches, and they're like Dusty and all of that. But Triple H was that foundation. He was the founder, and he really helped put them on the right course forward. And, you know, I think that tends to be eclipsed by his career, because we don't think of him like that.
Not
anymore. For us, we think of him, you know, we don't think of him in that way, and that's perfectly fine. There's nothing wrong with that. There's one promo. I did want to go back real quick to his career and say there's the one promo where he became the Game. I think is undervalued and underappreciated to this day.
Which one?
So there's one where he just declares, I am the game. It's just so much passion. It was, I think it was in the summer of 99. It was before he won the title. And I think it was when he was in the pool, like Rock and him, where they were battling over the cast, or the cast was involved. I know that. But he just declared, I am the game in that promo. And I just watched it recently. I'm like, oh my God, that's actually, that's way better than I remembered it being. Yeah. So I can't pinpoint exactly where it is right now, but it just came to mind. But that promo set him forward as a game, and it, I think it's undervalued, at least in his career, as one of his best promos, because it put him on that other level outside of DX and said, I'm serious about this, and I'm a serious competitor, and not just somebody that's jovial and jokes around at that aspect.
I'll give you that. Yes, I need to now go and find it and watch it. Because what's running through my head is what you just brought up about him being jovial DX. I was in State College when they came out with John as the Nation of Domination.
Yeah.
That, yeah, to me was one of the greatest. It was a spoof one or whatever. But that whole moment in wrestling, I forget a lot of stuff, and it takes you and a couple other people to remind me. I'm like, oh yeah, that day, because you guys are like fucking encyclopedias, but after 25 concussions or whatever, lucky I remember my name half the time.
Right.
So, but I do remember that DX one when they came out, that place was so hot. Not like mad hotter. They sucked it up. Him and the rest of DX doing the Nation. It was just white heat. If there was white heat from, you know, you talk about white heat in the 80s, it's like somebody's getting killed. And it transitioned to the 90s a little bit differently. But it was so over that's one of the things that you'll always remember about Triple H. He can be a jokester, but when he needs to flip that switch to be the game as well, he's there. He is there. So, yeah, it sucks that it's an end of an era, and I hope that we don't not see him. At least glimpses of, and we're going to get to talking about the Hall of Fame in this segment as well. At least he remains relevant. We see him, and we continue, and he just doesn't get pushed to the wayside. That's my hope. Yeah,
I agree with that. I don't think he will. I just feel like we're not going to see as much of him. He might pop up here and there.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Yeah. Also, July 26, 1999, was that promo. He was hyping up the SummerSlam match with Austin and that. So if you want to go check it out after you guys listen to this, and Mark, after we're done recording, that's the one I was talking about.
And it's on the cock, I'm sure.
It is. It's on Raw, number 332 or 322. So
322. Yeah. Now I don't have to do anything. All right, cool.
I got you. But yeah, basically at the end of it, he just pronounces, he goes, I'm going to show you I am the game. And it was beautifully done to hype that match. And I think that I remember that promo being that good, and that always stuck out to me. So
nice. A couple other things we want to talk about, but I would be remiss if I didn't say I got more of the tattoo done this week. I got the WCW logo put tucked away in there. You know it's a WCW logo because it's got the purple and the yellow. And then I've made this. It's wrestling. It's a very much wrestling tattoo. But along with wrestling, there's friendships, there's loves, and there's everything. Anytime we had pay-per-views at the house, buddies would bring over pizza that owned a pizza shop, and John knows who I'm talking about without giving away his name. So I had to. I put a pizza with their, you know, it says Oips, where, you know, they owned original Italian pizza. So I put that on my arm, and just showed everybody, like, leaked a little bit of that. Unbelievable how much people out of the woodwork is like, Mark, that is so awesome. Yeah, it's a wrestling tattoo, but I understand what you're doing with it. You're building up, you know, you got your favorite wrestlers, and you're just bringing your people back into it. So, Yeah. If you see a pizza box on my arm, that's what it's for.
Yeah, and it brings back those core memories, too. It's wrestling memories as well, if you think about it that way. So it all ties back with, it brings back those friendships and that, and shows how important it is to you to have that put on your arm.
Two more things that we forgot this week, and did you, I'll also ruin this, did you see any Supercard results, by the way?
I did see some.
Okay, good.
The big one, obviously, with FTR and the Briscoes as well. I saw that. So
yeah, well, let's talk about the two stupid things first, and then we'll talk about a Supercard real quick before we head into the week of wrestling. We have to start watching Steve Harvey like daily, apparently, right?
Yeah, what is going on with this? Kevin Sullivan and J.J. Dillon show up in one episode, and then Scott Steiner's there before his Hall of Fame speech, running his mouth. What is going on?
First and foremost, everybody that I've talked to knows that I'm so pissed. When the hell did Steve Harvey become a judge? And
that one, I'm very sure, was recently. It can't be that long ago.
In his rulings, like, normally you go to court, and if you're suing me for $5,000, I have to end up paying that $5,000 to you if I lose, right? That's how court works.
Right.
I think. Kevin Sullivan didn't have to pay that, what was it, $7,500 or five, yeah, whatever?
Yeah.
He didn't have to pay it. The court said, you know what? You're such a good friend of J.J. Dillon. The court's going to pay that for you. So, Jenks, I ask you this. Do you have $10,000 I can borrow? I'll pay it back in a little bit of time.
No, only if I can get a Steve Harvey guarantee on it.
Yeah.
That's what I'm thinking. I could not believe that was a verdict.
I know.
It makes no sense.
And then the other one with Johnny Fairplay and some promoter, Johnny Fairplay from Survivor, essentially. The promoter has Big Papa Pump come on and say, hey, this guy's a dirtball. He knew what he was getting into. I'm Big Papa Pump.
You know, that's all you need. You just need Big Papa Pump to come out and speak on your behalf. I don't believe he did any Steiner math, if I'm correct. I don't
remember any Steiner math being God.
I was disappointed in that. I wanted some Steiner math. We need to know about the 33.5% chance.
Right. So apparently at Steve Harvey's court show, I don't even know what it's called. It's not People's Court or anything like that.
It's Judge Steve Harvey. I looked it up because I needed to know when it started. Back in April, apparently.
Oh, so
it started.
Oh, last April.
Last April, yeah.
So it's been on a year, and it took him this long to get wrestlers on. Now I'm disappointed in that.
But see, he's ahead of the curve. Oh, I'm sorry. It premiered. Okay, he's recording as last April, but it premiered in January this year.
Oh, okay. Never mind. All right, then we're good.
But you know what? He's still ahead of the curve, even if it was since last April. I haven't seen wrestlers pop up on People's Court yet.
True. True.
You know, and that's been on for 30 years now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All up. Yeah.
Yeah.
So make sure you watch those for no apparent reason, but stupidness.
Good laugh.
Yeah.
Good laugh.
So let's talk about Supercard a little bit. I mean, we won't deep dive into it, but I do know the results, and a lot happened because.
Oh, yeah.
You're transitioning from this was booked mid buy, after buy, you know, during the buy from Tony Khan. So you're going to see a lot of changes. And wow, there was a ton of changes.
Yeah.
Tully has his new team and Big Man.
Yeah. And I was surprised by the Big Man.
I was. And this is going to tie into something I have to talk to you about on the AEW realm of things as well. So,
okay.
Tully has a new team, the Gates of Agony and Brian Cage. This makes sense. I like this.
Yeah.
I like this. I'll just run down my hotspots and you can tell me.
Do it.
My cousin's now the new ROH Women's Champion, Mercedes, cleaning that up, getting that. Good for her. FTR, this is the one you want to talk about, so hold that off. Suzuki defeats Rhett Titus for the TV title.
Yes. I was surprised by that.
I was too. Yuta becomes the new Pure champion. That was even a bigger surprise. Gresham becomes the undisputed champion, and then we have a surprise. We also get wins from Lethal, AQA, Swerve, and Colt Cabana. Again, FTR becomes the ROH champion as well. So go ahead and bounce whatever you have to say, because I'll fill in as well, because there's some thoughts I have going with this now.
Okay. Yeah, so just knowing the card, knowing what happened, I was happy for Yuta that he won the Pure Weight title. I thought he was already signed with AEW. I didn't realize he wasn't, because Tony Khan made it clear that night that he had been signed with AEW after he won the Pure Weight title. So that, congratulations to him. FTR and the Briscoes, it delivered on all fronts.
Yeah, I actually watched that one from the YouTube. Yeah.
Did you? Okay. Yeah, it delivered on all fronts. And honestly, that was probably the best way to send off. I don't know if the Briscoes are done or what they're going to be doing now. I think they have the Good Brothers coming up here at some point. But, Briscoes going into the ROH Hall of Fame, and that was such a well-done match. And it delivered on every aspect of it. And then the debut that we'll see on Dynamite next week as well, apparently, after the Gresham match. I don't know if we want to release that information, but...
Oh, go ahead.
I think it's... Yeah, for sure. I mean, Joe showing up at ROH, which we Hall of Famer in ROH, right? But then we get the news that he signed with All Elite. So it wasn't a one-off deal. He's there, and he's there to just tear people apart. So I'm excited how they bring in Joe and how they showcase him over the next week, over the next few months, and see how this goes. He's going to be the monster that we know he is, but it's going to be interesting to see how Joe delivers upon the aura that he's provided.
So my thought is, this is the way AEW gets their second bigger show on TV. Not saying that Rampage is not big, but it's not. It's an hour long. When we get to it this week, I'm going to shit on it because we were force-fed 900 things in only an hour.
Yeah,
this is going to be, in my thoughts, a whole different division. When it was a real, I'm going to compare it to WWE. When it was a real brand split that you didn't get crossovers or anything like that, this is going to be. Because Brian Cage hasn't been seen in 6 months. He pops back up for ROH. Yuta, kind of in something right now with Danielson and everybody, but that makes sense that he's over. I just like how he has signed so many people, but I think All Elite is like the parent company, and then you can trickle down to, all right, these guys are All Elite wrestlers, these guys are ROH wrestlers. Money is in the same, bank account, but it's allocated for other places. Everything isn't coming to AEW's.
Right.
That's my thoughts. If I'm wrong and we're going to get all crossover, shit, we just got 6 more titles that we're going to see on Dynamite now. That may be too many.
Well, I mean, we're going to see them anyways starting Wednesday with FTR in the Bucks. To be honest, they're not going to be defended, but FTR is going to have the titles with them against the Young Bucks.
But yeah.
So I get what you're saying, like we're going to be seeing and showcasing them, but I feel like they can do a true, I wouldn't even call it a brand split, I would say just 2 company split. I would love to see them do a crossover event once or twice a year.
Right.
If they do the true split and they don't crossover, I just think, to be honest, I think there's going to be a lot of crossover between the 2 brands. It doesn't mean that things are going to be defended on both brands, like the ROH tag titles or anything like that. I just think it's going to be, hey, this week we're going to have special attraction of Moxley coming over and fighting. You know what I mean? I just think it's going to be that. I can't see them not letting people crossover because they've been doing it with Impact. Although NWA. That's kind of slowed up. NWA. So I think it's going to continue to happen. And now that ROH is under the umbrella, it's going to happen a lot more.
it gives them more time. I think that they can, again, Rampage. They can develop more stories. And is it to get ROH its own TV show or something? I mean, we didn't know, and we still have the slightest idea what Tony's really doing with ROH besides the library.
Yeah.
But my thoughts are I hope it's something like that. I don't know. I just hope it's its own brand for a little bit. And I understand there can be crossover, but I think ROH can be what NXT was to Raw and SmackDown for All Elite.
I concur. And I would hope that if the true split, they don't necessarily get on each other's shows at all. However, 6 months down the line, every 6 months or something, you do a cross-branded event. Because I think that would sell. And it doesn't have to be your normal Dynamite pay-per-views or ROH pay-per-views. You can make it cross-branded. Like they did in 2002, 2003. You have ROH, you have Raw, you have SmackDown pay-per-views, and you have the Big Show. Raw, SmackDown, Big Show. You could do that with AEW, Double or Nothing. ROH in June, Big Show July. And then just keep going down the line. That could happen. And that would be something that I would be excited to see, but we'll have to see how that all plays out.
Yeah, for sure. All right, Jenks, let's pause there. Let's take care of some of our business that we should take care of. And then we'll come back. We'll brief on, I don't know, the Raw and SmackDown promos that they did for the week. Talk about a very emotional Hall of Fame. And then we'll wrap it up in segment three with AE Dubs for the week. I'm sure segment two will go fast. We also have a spoiler in segment two. But we have to first tell you about cool stuff that Collar and Elbow has. Spring edition shirts are right around the corner. It's spring already, so they should be coming. Your beard is causing havoc.
Sorry.
Your microphone. Check out collarandelbowwrestling.com. Use a promo code Can Crushers, all one word, capital C and Can, capital C and Crushers, and you'll get 10% off of your stuff. We are available everywhere podcasts are, which are Spotify, Google, Stitcher, iHeart, the list goes on and on. Our socials, Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook, at CanCrusher69. He's working on the Christian Mingle site right now, so that's good. Farmers Only has kicked us off. So we're not there anymore.
We did find potatoesforvodka.com. That might be something coming up here in the near future, so you know.
Wait, what one?
Potatoes aren't just for vodka.com.
Oh.
You'll have to listen to the 40-year dash to understand that reference a little bit. But we are working on that right now.
Nice. Send us an email at cancrushers69@gmail.com. My head is blown up. Here comes Al Snow, and then we'll be back to brief on WWE for the week.
Wrestling. A love and a passion we all share. I've started a wrestling brand. The wrestling brand. A brand founded on the aspects of wrestling. Two entities working together to create a product that connect emotionally for people everywhere. Collar and Elbow is the brand. Passion and love for wrestling is the drive. I am Al Snow, and this is Collar and Elbow, the wrestling brand.
Hey, this is the Barbie Killer, Haley Shadows. I absolutely hate Can Crushers, but I'm going to be on it, so stay tuned.
And welcome back to Can Crushers Wrestling Podcast. Jinx, I promoted her show, her spotlight, for the longest time, and now she hates us. Haley Shadows.
She got what she wanted out of us? No, or nothing.
She was almost a Can Crusher champion. I did not want a champion like that. That
you
hates
can't,
us.
You can't have that. It's going to destroy the brand.
Right.
So Haley, we didn't do anything to you, but I don't know why you would hate us.
Yeah.
We're two very nice individuals. I don't get it.
Nice individuals. Yeah.
Nice individuals.
We're jovial, right? You can say we are very jovial.
We are very jovial individuals. I think that's the name of the podcast today, Mark.
Very jovial individuals? Sure.
Individuals, yeah.
I'll forget that in the next hour. and I can't write it down because I'm on my new calendar, and I can't just write shit down because I'm like, what the hell does very jovial individuals mean on April 26th? I don't know.
I'll tell you what, I'll text it to you.
Deal.
While we're talking.
Don't all do right. it. It'll mess up my phone line, probably. That's the way technology has been right. this week.
Yeah, I'll never remember. Yeah, that's fair. So many issues this week.
Yeah. Haley Shadows, if you're not listening to the Spotlight yet, it's up. It was up on Wednesday. It's a great listen. It really is. You find out a lot about Haley in the 10 years that she's been in the business. Jenks, let's talk about, and I'm sure we can go through these lickety-split, hot takes on Raw, hot takes on, well, first of all, they're not just called Raw and SmackDown this week. It's WrestleMania no. Raw, WrestleMania SmackDown, because we have to have that tagline in there.
Well, we need 5 more hours of WrestleMania. The 8.5 that's going on over the next 2 days.
I know.
Not happen. Not enough.
Not enough.
Well, it wasn't enough. Kofi and Woods got cut.
They
spoilers.
Yeah, spoilers. For the people that are trying to watch WrestleMania all in one day, it's rough.
And
it's not because the matches were bad or anything like that, and we're not going to get into it, but we're going to continue to tease right. it. I did it yesterday. Watched wrestling for 36 straight hours, which is one day. It's rough. It really can be rough. It's grueling to do that.
You're going to need a nap. You're going to need a deep.
I definitely am taking a nap before. Yeah, I have to take a nap tonight because I could sleep in today. Tomorrow, I can't sleep in. So I go to bed at midnight and I'm rolling back up at 4 o'clock. God forbid people are going to hate me tomorrow. They hate me anyway.
Well, people apparently hate us anyways now. They're coming out of the woodwork with promos against us when we're supposed to be promoting our show.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know what's going on.
All we need is a 40-year dash to hate us now.
No. Well, I'm sure one of them does.
I'm sure.
Probably Hetrick.
Probably Hetrick.
For sure.
So Raw was filled with promos and a couple matches, and I have to start. Brock had fun Monday night. It was in Pittsburgh, yeah. by the way. I forgot that it was in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, Brock was having the time of his life Monday, but and that's exactly what we expected out of him. And unfortunately, it's going to hurt my soul when he loses tonight. Now,
so. Yeah, I know. That's our predictions from last week. Briefly going down this, I like Lucha Logan. I love that Corey Graves was talking about his brother Sam Adonis, who's wrestling, you know, all around the world, but wrestles in Mexico. And then Cole was like, you can't believe anything your brother says. He's a piece of trash. And I'm like, I know both of them. That's awesome. And Sam Adonis is not a piece of trash.
Well, you know what? Apparently he is. Mark, you don't know something about him, I guess.
Apparently.
They have dirt on him.
Yeah, God. I wish that they would have actually both, spoiler, walked into WrestleMania with Rey Mysterio masks. But Ray got his mask back. I thought it would have added just a little bit more. Ray has 50 million masks. It's not like he would have been maskless for WrestleMania. But
I think he would have been at least hurt for it. I mean, what's having 50 million masks if you don't have that one?
Right. Right. I agree. Other stuff. Man. SmackDown at least provided something. Raw was 3 hours of promos. Really 3 hours of promos. You got a match between Drew, Corbin, but it ended up being Madcap. Ricochet against Austin Theory, which I see the writing on the wall that Ricochet is going to be buried again soon, even as IC champion.
Yeah.
We're getting a double marriage from the 24/7 shit. That's amazing. God,
I can't believe that happened.
Yeah. Like, Raw was abysmal.
I would say, I appreciated the Becky Bianca segment and the haircutting segment, because I think it added even more to their, you're right, it was a promo film show, but I think that added even more to their match at WrestleMania, and I will stick by it till the end. Becky and Bianca should have main evented, but neither here or there.
Yeah.
I think that
Rhonda's really happy she didn't main event too.
Yeah, she's very happy about that. but I loved that portion of it. I thought it was good, and I did not expect them to actually start cutting off pieces of Lynch's hair during that entire segment. So I appreciated that part. The rest of it, it was what it was. And that's pretty much all I can say about that.
Yeah, it's the summer season, so Becky probably did want a haircut. So yeah, because she had a lot of hair, so here you go. Mess with my hair. This is essentially what came out of it.
Well, yeah, exactly. But I think it provides another perspective to it. It takes it one step further, if you will, instead of just verbal and physical barbs. You're attacking a person's appearance and character. And for some people, their hair is a part of their appearance.
Yep, I was going to say, and that's Becky's gimmick.
That is Becky's gimmick. She's been red hair, fire red hair for God knows how long. Well, since she started.
Her whole life.
Her whole life. And, yeah, you're right. Her whole life. Good point. Valid point. But to start hacking away at it, that adds another personal level to it. There's not really much. What else would Bianca been able to do? Can't attack her family. I mean, it's Seth Rollins. What would that have done? I think that takes it to another level in that aspect.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Transitioning to SmackDown Mania, they start with the Andre the Giant Battle Royal. And you see big men in there, and you knew they had no chance in hell.
Yeah.
Once my pick, and it wasn't, like, we didn't write them down as major picks of who's getting the six-pack or anything like that, but you went Finn, I went Priest, essentially saying this was going to carry this over, and maybe on Sunday they get a match for the U.S. title. No. Madcap Moss wins this thing, and no disrespect to the guy. He almost had a broken neck and this, that, and the other, but holy God. Isn't there anybody? I would give Jinder a push with it. Have a big man win it. It was god-awful.
Yeah, I'm honestly surprised they didn't put Omos in it, to be honest, and then have that as another accolade for Sunday.
Yeah.
Right? Against Bob, but I guess Madcap's going to be on a push, and I wouldn't be surprised if he turns on Happy.
Soon.
Maybe even as soon as next SmackDown. Yeah. You know, I don't know. But it just feels like they're going to give him a big push, so why would he be playing second fiddle to Corbin after that? So we might be getting something out of them here in the near future. I was surprised by it.
Yeah. I was too.
I would not have picked it, so anywhere close to Madcap, but it is what it is.
And then we get the IC title match, which is Lotharios, both of them, against Ricochet in a 3-on-1. A triple threat match, I mean. By the way, shout out to Ashley D'Ambrose. The girl that got kissed is the IWC Women's Champion. She was at ringside. I instantly saw her face wearing that Mysterio shirt. I'm like, oh my God, that's actually from IWC. So,
what a night for her.
And what a night for the Los Lotharios. They got beat.
They did get beat. Cool spot at the end with Ricochet going from the 630 into the recoil. But they got beat by Ricochet. So you think Ricochet's going to get buried here pretty soon, huh?
I don't know. Poor guy. Yeah, I don't know. He takes a loss to Austin Theory Monday night, and then did you expect a tag team member to beat him? No, but I am still pissed that either one of the mid titles are not on WrestleMania.
I agree with that. I will stand by that. Especially the Intercontinental title.
Yeah.
Again, it's bearing the Intercontinental title. I don't think to be honest, Mark, after you said that, I don't think he loses the title. I think they just bury him in the title again.
Yeah.
They forgot about it with Nakamura for, what, 6 months?
Yep.
7 months.
Defended it like twice.
Yeah, in that span.
Yeah.
So, unfortunately, that title has, in all of its lineage, has now become a prop that doesn't get used or featured that often.
Yep. Yep.
Yep.
Then we yep. Then yep. we get a match that makes no sense to me. Why is Sasha and Naomi getting, it's not a title match, but they're still getting a match against Carmella and Vega. I wasn't sure if it was the night before or Sunday, but it doesn't matter. Why are they getting this match against them prior to WrestleMania when last week we had the normal T type of, you know, two tag teams on one side, two tag teams on another. They all just out brawl, this, that, and the other. The writing on the wall for tonight, Jenks, is not that Sasha and Naomi are winning this, and that's who you picked to win. Because Sasha got two big wins this week. And as the way WWE books, that doesn't look well for a pay-per-view.
Yeah. Did I pick Sasha and Naomi? I thought I picked Rhea and Liv.
Oh, you might have. Yeah, so I think you did. They were both your teams, at least. And I said yes, I'm staying away from both of them. So yeah.
Yes, you're right. You're right. You picked Shayna and Nat. I would say I agree with you 100%. And this feels like this match was just to give them a pinfall victory over the tag champs. Because I just feel like Sasha's going to go away again and do some stuff with the Mandalorian and do stuff outside of wrestling. And he's going to be gone till about WrestleMania or till about SummerSlam. Yeah. It just feels that way to me. I don't know.
I agree. Or when... essentially, we both know that Carmella and Vega are losing titles tonight. Not a spoiler. It's just right. To who. So does that, if Sasha doesn't leave for a little bit, are they already the number one contenders for if Liv and Ripley win? Do they slide in so they can carry this over at least till Friday in case there's injuries that happen on WrestleManias? And we're not spoiling it if you don't know.
Right.
Matches are going to need to be filled because shit happens. Because you're wrestling 5 nights in 3 days.
Yeah. No, I was thinking that too. We could see that happen. I feel like I would be surprised if that's a clean victory by Carmella and Zelina tonight. I feel like there has to be something going on in the match. But I think they also gave themselves the leeway of, okay, let's say it was Rhea and Liv that were supposed to win and God forbid Liv gets injured. Now you have Naomi, Sasha, or Nat and Shayna to fall back on in that match. It's not like it's an elimination match where you can't just pick and choose. You might be able to move things around.
Right.
For them to still lose the titles that night. I'm guessing, if I'm a guessing man, I think you have an alternate option in case something happens to your winners.
Yeah.
In that match.
And but, you should. And you have should. To
see. Yeah, agreed. And I think that's the one benefit of a Fatal 4-Way. If you know you're going to drop the title, and there's reasons behind that, it gives you the opportunity to have a backup winner just so the title can get moved off of the champions for whatever reason it may be.
Carmella's getting married.
In this case, it's Carmella's getting married, going on her honeymoon, having a great time, which is fantastic.
Yeah. So congratulations to them.
Congratulations indeed.
The rest of SmackDown to me was hot garbage. I really hated the whole Austin running around Pat thing. I want to see the match, but the high school, middle school games the last couple weeks have been rough.
Yeah. No, I agree with that. And then to top it off, we ran behind Poppy Vince on SmackDown. So Papa Vince is controlling Pat McAfee, which to me was kind of funny in the aspect of Pat McAfee, a $50 million man, is just as afraid of Vince McMahon as some other people on that roster.
Yeah, because it's a billionaire. There's a hell of a lot more zeros.
Exactly. And, well, you could say that there's a hell of a lot more zeros, but then you have Seth Rollins that just dances on his desk in a fucking whatever suit he was wearing Monday. But
yeah.
And talking to his dinosaur head on the wall.
I thought he was going to kiss it, honestly, to go back to that. I thought he was going to kiss it, but damn it.
I hope he would.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
So that's WWE week in wrestling. Not a lot, as nothing usually happens before WrestleMania besides getting 2 hours beforehand Bob and Omos for Monday night. That was great.
Yeah.
Crickets. But we did transition from SmackDown into the Hall of Fame. And Jenks, I will have to say, this is probably one of the most emotional ones for me in the last couple years. I had it on, and the Steiners, they started the show, and I was just listening. I didn't watch it. I was just listening to theirs. But I'm like, oh, man, that was pretty good. I wish that Scott would have had a force flub on something that he said just because it became his gimmick of fucking things up.
Right.
But he didn't. So I was a little upset about that.
I think the telling part of that was when Bron Breakker made the comment of the biggest risk of his career turning the mic over to Uncle Scott.
Yeah.
I think that told the story, and then them joking around about him, Rick Steiner took the title or the microphone away from him at one point. I think it was more of Scott was subdued, so he didn't hurt his nephew. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I get that. I would have loved to see the Force Flub. I would have loved to hear more about Steiner Math. I popped when they kind of mentioned it in the promo package, into the video package that they did leading up to their induction. But for me, this was one of those things where you almost, and I don't want to say like I forgot about them, but you don't really think about the Steiner brothers when you think about great tag teams throughout history. Right, you don't list them off. We need to list off Hardys, Dudleys, Road Warriors, this and that. But the Steiners were some of the most. They were very innovative in their time.
Yep, that's what was coming to my head. Yep.
Yeah, they were so innovative that we take that for granted because the moves that they innovated are now seen day to day, week to week, month to month.
Yeah.
So I don't think they get enough respect in that aspect. And, you know, later year things, Steiner Math, whatever with Scott, kissing Tigers and walking to the ring with Tigers and that for a world title match, dog face gremlin stuff. It overshadows that tag team career that was so good between WWE and WCW. And I look forward to going through Nitro again to see the Steiners matches in WCW and to relive those per se.
That's the only time I liked Michigan University is when they came out, by the way. I was a huge Michigan fan because of them. But I didn't like Michigan.
I did not know that.
Yeah. No, I was never a Michigan. Like, I didn't root for them in football or anything. But
when
they were wrestling, Golden Blue or Blue, whatever, I'm going to get hate now because I think it's Hayes, right? Hayes and Mays.
Mays and Blue.
Yeah.
Mays and Blue.
Yeah. I was a Michigan fan when they were wrestling. Just because they went to school there. Other than that, I hated Michigan.
Well, I mean, that's a Pennsylvania bias.
It is. Right? Clearly. Clearly.
You hate Ohio, you hate Michigan.
So yeah.
It's just the Big Ten Pennsylvania bias from that.
Yes.
So I get that.
Next up, I don't know if I'm going to remember them in order, but Charmel came out and hers was very political. Like, I didn't get anything from her. She just... Thank you, 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 thank you. I love you. I thank you, thank you, thank you. All right, whatever. I'm not one to judge if he actually deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. So by me just saying that, that should be enough. Jenks?
It was political and it felt a little forced. I'm not going to go down the path of who deserves what and whatnot. I mean, for the King Booker run, she was very instrumental in that. And King Booker is legendary to this day. I mean, let's be honest. But I didn't like her speech because it didn't feel authentic.
Right.
Like, and that's maybe she just was so nervous about giving it that she rehearsed it time and time again. And it just seemed second nature and a little robotic at times. But I hope that as long as she meant every word of that, because I think a lot of people did deserve those things. And she listed off Molly Holly, Medusa.
Oh, I agree.
You know, and Victoria and Jazz. And I think everybody that she mentioned did deserve those things. And I think she did a spectacular job apart with Booker for the King Booker segments. you know, the speech left a little to desire, but it was her speech. You make of it as you will. And to be honest, if she was nervous about it, I totally get that. You're in front of 20,000 fans plus all of your peers on the stage. You're going to be nervous if you're not like the likes, if you're not used to that. Right.
Yeah.
So, I give her props. You can debate worthiness if you want, but you know what? She's in the Hall of Fame now, and she accomplished enough to make a case.
Yep.
So we'll go there.
I agree. I agree with that. Well said. The next three were very emotional for me.
Yeah.
Very emotional. Let's go with Vader first, because even with the little bit of time that they did get, they got in, you know, what time is it, Vader time? His wife just seemed, I'm not saying like she was still distraught about the death of killer you are, or right. But this was now her proudest moment that her husband yep. got in there. You could just see it on her face. And the son was the little boy that watched his dad wrestle, that, you know, yeah. giving the prop. So I took this one as a family one, as it was, holy cow, this is cool. I this is where I started to shed tears, and I'm like, cool. So
you have
bad stories about Vader out there. When Bob Cook came on the show, he talked about how rough he was. I don't know that aspect. I know what I saw of Vader being on Boy Meets World, and the cool shit that the big man did in the ring. So yeah.
I will never deny, and I will always say that Vader was probably one of my favorites growing up. He was so good in the ring. And I remember he was one of the first people I watched on WCW, and I was instantly hooked.
It was the mask. Yeah.
The Mastodon mask, blew smoke out. Him in the ring just with Sting. It looked so natural and so fluid, and just their rivalry. And he was so good in the ring. And yeah, you can talk about being stiff and being rough and all of that stuff, but when it came down to it, he was the ultimate big man, and he was the big man terror for, God, 5 years in WCW, 90 to 95. And then what he did in WWE, did a couple good things. He was the first person to attack Gorilla Monsoon on TV,
yep.
live TV, when he was a commissioner. So, I mean, that in alone, the resume speaks for itself. But you're right. This was about Vader finally getting his just due, and his family, it almost provided a closure for them, for his Hall of Fame career in that, because they loved the man, they knew the man, and you hear stories. You can hear that he's rough in the ring, but some people say he was the nicest guy in the locker room.
Yeah.
And I think this was full closure for them, and sometimes that's what you need to help you heal and get over the passing of someone. And you're right, his son, proud son moment, finally seeing his dad in there after all of his hard work, and his wife too, just seeing his husband finally getting his just due and getting his recognition. I loved it. I was throwing up V's every chance I could.
Yep.
During it, and I got a little emotional because, again, like I said, he was one of my favorite big men, and I always enjoyed when he was in the ring. So
any big man nowadays that you see move well compared to two people, Bam Bam and him. And I don't think you're ever going to hear them not be, you know, a big man. Hey man, he can move as good as well as Vader and Bam Bam. You don't say, hey, he can move as good as Jenks and Mark. No, it never transitions to anybody else. It's always Vader and Bam Bam. So
exactly. Yeah. And it always will be.
I agree.
They were that larger than life. That it will always be Vader and Bam Bam.
Yeah. Living their characters as well. As we get to The Undertaker, of course, which is last, we'll talk more. But Vader also lived his character, you know, when he was in the ring. So that was – I was proud of that. The next one, if you didn't cry, you don't have a fucking soul. And I'll just say it like that. I give props. You know, his wife was cool, calm, and collective. His son, though, was so just – I would not have been able to walk out there.
No.
And this kid was You saw him get emotional from words and everything, but he never really completely broke. He was just that hero that Shad had said he's going to be. Yeah. And it, that one, again, was unbelievable. I loved, we'll transition into it again. I did love The Undertaker's because he had the time and everything. But if I have to pick one to rewatch, I'll rewatch this one because of what she said at the end.
Yes. Do you have it pulled up in front of you?
No, it's women are remembered for what they do.
Yep.
Men are remembered for what they... No, I messed it up.
Yeah. It was phenomenal. If you haven't watched it, go
women,
back and look at it.
Women are remembered what they say. Men are remembered for what they do. There.
Yeah. There you go. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. That one, that was rough. I love KTG coming out with them too. To kind of, they did the crime time.
They did the crime time. Yeah.
And I think I was happy. I love that he like left it alone too, because it was their time, but he was there to support them. And I love that he came out and escorted them to the ring and just showed the love that they, that he had for him. It was rough. I saw the sun, the pain in the sun's eyes, like you were talking about. He wanted to let it loose, but he didn't. And props to him, because I don't think I could have.
No.
So, you know, that was, it was an emotional one. The only part of that I have to say, Dana Warrior needs to learn how to read a room. She was not like that. Was a
thank you. I didn't know if I was going to be the only person to say, God, she's horrible.
She was too jovial. This was an emotional segment, and she was way too jovial, trying to get people up and dancing down the stage. And that, no,
it wasn't about that.
This was not the time.
Yeah,
it wasn't about that. It wasn't about. It wasn't about the Warrior Award at that point. It was about what Shad had done that day when he lost his life. And even before that, when he stopped the armed robbery. So I just didn't like that part of it. But
thank you. I was going to say it after you said your well words. But yeah, Dana is... I know it's her husband's award, but sometimes can we get somebody else to give that award away?
Yeah, I don't... That was not, it wasn't appropriate, I don't think, but.
And then we get to The Undertaker.
Oh, man.
And it was every spectrum of emotion that you could imagine. I laughed, yep. I cried, I joked, I was mad, I was like, what the hell, holy shit. And then at the end, I lost my fucking mind. Over the last things that he said. Never say never. What? What are you talking about?
You knew that was happening. You didn't know that was happening, but when you stopped and went back.
Yeah.
I was texting with Mucci at that time because we were both watching it live. And he was like, are you serious right now? I'm like, motherfucker's doing it. And he never say never.
Yeah.
It was an emotional speech. I 50 minutes long, but I loved every minute of it. I joked, Lucy and I joked that it was more like a TED Talk at some point.
It was.
But it was a good TED Talk, and there was nothing wrong with that. When he came out with the microphone around his, on his ear already, I'm like, what is going to happen? And it turned out to be that way. But I thought he did the best he could with, he thanked everybody he could. Vince was listening off God, how many people beforehand, but it was good to see that side of the dead man that you never see. You know what I mean?
Yes.
The character finally broke. Like we saw most of it happen on The Last Ride, but it finally fully broke in that Hall of Fame speech.
Yeah. The little jabs at people, like the lady that creates his garb and that was awesome. I knew he was gonna shout out to his boys Yoko and the Godfather and Kane, of course. I mean, the list can go on and on. If you have 45 minutes, go and watch it again. But
I would say make time to watch it if you're a wrestling fan.
Yeah.
And enjoyed it.
Yeah.
And you haven't seen it yet, but go on.
Sorry. Well, essentially, the 30 years. I was 15. Okay. Round up his career even farther back, because I remember him in WCW and all the god awful stuff he had there, essentially. So I was 10 when he started, essentially. You know?
Yeah. How about?
This was amazing for me. This one is, I had a guest over last night to watch WrestleMania and everything with me. He came down, old college friend came over, and he said this is almost one that like solidifies again that there is a true Hall of Fame. Not that it's a concrete Hall of Fame,
right?
But some of the people, and no disrespect to them, the last couple years, you're like, okay, they're in Hall of Fame. We needed the speeches this year, da-da-da-da-da. When you have somebody that has been this significant to the wrestling world, I'll put it universe. I'll use the cheesy word for WWE, the universe. It really does something. It really, like, holy shit. This is, yes. At some point, we're going to get Hall of Fame. I doubt we ever will. But, yes. Right. It felt gratifying to me. I felt sad. But it's wrestling. He says never say never. So who the hell knows? We didn't expect 19 years later for something to happen either.
Right. Oh, who would have thought from 1990 on a zombie Undertaker was going to live for 30-some-odd years and be at this point in time? Let's be honest about it. I mean, I was 2 at that time.
Do you remember that?
The Undertaker. I didn't remember it until I saw it later on, obviously, but... Yeah, I mean, thinking about that, I was 2 when he debuted, to put an age around it. And it just, who would have thought that gimmick in that character, it's been said thousands of times over, would have never worked on anybody besides him, because he made it work.
And I brought this up. I brought this up. Sorry to cut you off. I brought this up.
No, you're good. Go for it.
And the one that I brought up, and I don't know if he was ever talked about being it or anything like that. Could you imagine Sid Vicious saying, hey, you're going to be The Undertaker?
No.
What Vince said at the beginning is they never called The Undertaker because they knew the whole TED talk of loyalty and everything. He wasn't leaving. Yeah. I don't know if anybody else wouldn't have left. It was Mark that said, I am staying. This guy, WCW's already shit on me and said I couldn't do anything. These guys are giving me this... Back then, it was the cartoon time of wrestling. You know, there was a plumber, there was a Aldo Montoya, a garbage man, a fucking chicken.
Max Moon.
Yeah. So now we're getting an Undertaker, a dead guy. How long is this going to last? And then it transitioned, and then it transitioned. And yeah, he went through a lot to get where he is, but essentially... The only time, and I know a lot of people are going to say this because I just had this thought run through my mind, that he wasn't, like, the Undertaker was the badass time. Because he wasn't dead then, to me. You know?
Right.
Where all the other times, he was dead. Not that he was dead, but you know what I'm saying. But he transitioned his character so well that it fit with every freaking time period in life.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think others could have done that. Because he lived it. He didn't tell you promos. He didn't, you know, outside of WWE, he didn't sit down and, you know, do a podcast. Or he didn't, and please wrestlers that are listening to this, stop. Don't think I'm saying that. I want you on the show. I want you to show. But that wasn't available. So he just said, I'm going to live as a dead guy for as long as I'm riding this gimmick out.
Yeah. And that's amazing to me.
Yeah.
That he could stick to it for that long. Live it, love it. No matter what, he was in full trench coat and black, just walking around, being scary as all hell. And again, it speaks to WCW let go, let's say, the two biggest names in the industry, Austin and Undertaker, because they thought they had no talent.
Yeah.
And that those chips on those shoulders and that the offense they took to that statement buried WCW at that point.
And that's
I know it's been said
and
before,
that's what you're going to rewatch right now.
probably. Well, later.
I know.
But, well, in the Yeti, that didn't help anything, but.
Yeah.
Joey Oyetes, I think that's our.
I did like one more thing that The Undertaker did at the end. And when he walked out, you know, he went over to Michelle, but he took his hat off. And I don't know if it was just the way he placed it or if it was meant to be. When he gave his daughter a kiss, he hid it from our camera that, hey, this is still a me and her moment. This doesn't need to be seen on TV. I mean, it was just a, it was a dad to daughter peck on the cheek or whatever. I'm taking it, you know, as a dad. He's like, I'm still protecting her, so you don't get to see this precious moment. And I lost it there again because I'm like, this guy just knows. He knows everything. And again, we talked about Triple H. I hope The Undertaker isn't gone. I hope he pops up. Maybe not for matches because they've been pretty rough. But I hope we still get once a year or something, just a glimpse of what he's doing in his life. But I don't want him to stress about it and let him and Michelle and the kids do what they want to now, because they've both entertained us well enough.
Agreed. And I would love to just see Undertaker pop up randomly once or twice whenever they're in Texas or around WrestleMania and just give somebody the business.
Yeah.
Choke slam, tombstone, walk away, be done with it. I don't want that one match. I don't think we'll ever see him train the next generation of stars in NXT, but I think he would be the good for spot appearances. And say, give them words of advice. He's done that before. He's popped into NXT, the Performance Center, and gave words of wisdom and all that. So that he's going to be around. He's not going anywhere, but he's also ridden off into the sunset. And I'm just grateful that we saw him in the Boneyard match as almost that farewell type setup for him.
Agreed.
So.
Agreed. All right, so that's essentially WWE for the week. Spoiler time, here it comes. If you've been waiting for it, we have a WWE legend coming on the show on Wednesday. Jenks, go ahead.
Yeah, this past Thursday night, we had the privilege and honor to interview Headbanger Mosh and ask him career, so many different things, starting from... There was a lot of things going on there.
It started hot.
It started hot and heavy, and it just kept going from there. So, but yeah, so Headbanger Mosh, we had a great time interviewing him, had fun, and that'll pop. I don't know when that's dropping, Mark. Is that, when's that going to drop?
Wednesday, about 6 a.m. as there normal. Yeah.
So get ready for that, guys, in 3 days.
Yeah. By the way, make sure you listen to it, because there's one story that blew our minds. Minds were like, what? That's all we're going to say.
It almost literally blew everything. So
yeah. He doesn't start with it. As we said, it starts like a train wreck of Can't Crush Your Spotlights usually are.
Yep.
I didn't know if we were going to be able to dig ourselves out of what we were talking about. So we had a transition fast.
We did pretty good.
We did pretty well. All right, quick break. We're going to come back. We're going to talk about AEW for the week. And I do have a little bit of spice on Impact, too, that I want to bring up. You didn't know this, by the way.
No, I did not. I'm intrigued.
Hey, this is Mariah May, the glamour, but you knew that. And you're listening to Can Crushers.
Welcome back to Can Crusher Podcast. What the hell are you talking about, Impact? What got spicy on Impact?
You're tired. That was a shitty. I could have had Moochie come in with his great impressions to tell us.
Do you really want that to happen, though?
I do not want anything like that to happen.
You know.
So I caught a little bit of Impact this week via the whole YouTube and stuff like that. And one thing you guys know, I'm enamored by all three of these women in this kind of Texas tornado rivalry going on. Tasha Steelz was defending the title against Mickie James in a Philadelphia street fight match. Mickie's got her ass kicked essentially most of the match because Savannah Evans, also Tasha Steelz' big buddy, was just pounding on her. all of a sudden you see Chelsea Green sprinting from the back with a chair in hand. You're thinking, Chelsea's going to take out this bitch because she at least wants one of these two healthier than having, you know, Evans just beating the piss out of, you know, James. Because essentially that's where it's leading up to. I think Mickey gets the title back, her and Green fight for it, whatever. And then Chelsea slides into the ring, opens the chair, and watches Tasha Steelz and Evans beat the living piss out of Mickey James. Tasha gets the win. Green jumps on her. They go back and forth a little bit. Cardona comes out. You think Cardona is going to probably pull off Green. Green has her cast that she doesn't need to wear, the old Iron Mike Sharp thing. She slides that on, blasts Mickey in the face with it. She finally gets back up to eat a radio silence. No Aldis around. I loved it.
Yeah.
I effing loved it. It's a great story. I just wish we could see it more than Sunday morning on YouTube an hour before we do the podcast. Because that's when it was fucking posted.
I know. I mean, I saw the radio silence bit too, Mickey. I wish we could get it more. It's how limited their TV distribution is right now. I would love to see that in person. And that's all building up to what, the multiverse match? Multiverse, whatever they're calling it.
That pay-per-view. Rebellion or something like that?
Yeah. So, but I'm right there with you. I'd love to see more of this, but it's just not available.
But I'm so pumped up about that match that do I pull the trigger for, I don't know what their pay-per-views are, $39.99 or something, just for that match? Because I don't know, and I know I could dig. Don't say, Mark, you can dig and find out what else is going on. Right, but there's already 47 hours of wrestling on TV. I should make more time for it, but holy God, I do want to play video games and hang out with my family as well. Plus, I work, and I work.
What is that?
Right? I wish if it was on regular TV, I would at least record it, make time, zip through it at least. I just don't get it. And again, getting back to the whole pay-per-view, will I buy it for just that? This one, probably yes, because I want to see what's going on, because it engulfs NWA, Impact, this, that, and the other. But what's the main event? Like, what are the things that I should be watching it for? Because this is essentially mid-card stuff. No disrespect to any of them, because they're not mid-carders, but there's no championship involved.
Right.
So,
yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I couldn't even tell you. Is Moose still the champion at Impact?
It's Moose or Alexander, and I'm not sure right now.
Yeah.
So, because I know Alexander got to re-sign, and his visa's good again that he can come back over. Right. So
I did see he was back wrestling with them, but I didn't know who was champion or not.
Which hurts me, because I wonder how long he signed, because before Brandy left AEW, which we're going to talk about here in a second, she had that shot on Ethan Page. We signed you so we could get Josh Alexander. Well, shit, if he just re-signed with Impact, how long is this going to be? Because I want some Josh Alexander weekly.
Oh, yeah. I completely agree. And honestly, I'd love to see something with Ethan Page and Alexander, whether it be a rivalry or
the North again.
The North reunites.
Yeah.
And we finally get the North versus FTR.
Yeah.
That was hyped for a little bit of time there. We were trying to get, but didn't end up getting.
We didn't.
No, we did not.
We did not. All right, AEW time. As much as I hate this motherfucker, I have to give him props. Max Caster had a good match with Punk. And it was because of Punk. But this was a good match.
Well, I think, Punk can carry matches, but I think Caster has proven that he's a lot better than we've seen in the past. He stepped up his game for that match, and it was pretty good. Like you said, it was pretty good. I can't harbor on it enough. And I was actually surprised we got another Anaconda Vice victory.
Yeah.
For Punk. Yeah. I thought we would see him go to GTS or something.
If you've been waiting for this, here comes all our fantasy stuff for the week. Is this leaking more that we said, or I said, maybe Punk's trying to get Regal's eye on him to get with Danielson and Mox?
Maybe you think it could be. They could essentially go into a program for Double or Nothing. Yeah. If we're not going to get Punk and Pace for the title of Double or Nothing, that's the next logical step. I don't think we're getting MJF Punk. I think we're getting MJF Wardlow at Double or Nothing. So I think Punk Danielson or Punk Moxley would be the next best option.
Right.
Would it not?
Yeah, because now, you know, this happened Wednesday, but now fast forwarding to what happened on, you know, Supercard, Yuta is kind of, he has that little bit with him, and maybe it's the build up for down the line, but Yuta now has a title to be around his waist. And if there's going to be that brand split or whatever that we had, like, Yuta's going to be on the ROH side. He's a champ.
I think you could pull that off, though, and still have him under Regal's tutelage.
Well, I think
Regal can go between. I think this getting him the pure weight title might get him into the group at some capacity, in my opinion, because now you've validated who you are. You've been showing up for these matches. Do you think he has to beat one of them to get into the group with Regal and them? Yeah. It's going to happen at some point.
Or do we get a new pure weight champion really quick in the form of Bryan Danielson?
Maybe. But I feel like if they get the third match between the two, I think Yuta steals it. My personal opinion, though.
Either way, I love their match. So, yeah, either way.
I do. I agree. Yeah. I love all their matches so far. So, I'm up for all of it.
Yeah. MJF looks like he's going to lose somebody else, huh? Or two more people.
Yeah. FTR's on their way out.
I like this.
I do too.
I like this because he's going to be a man on an island by himself. Because when we get Wardlow Spears, Spears is going to get air quoted injured.
Oh, yeah.
FTR had already bailed on him because they're buddies with Wardlow. They made it known twice during the show.
Yep.
So he's going to be a lonely man.
It's lonely at the top there, Mark.
But are we going to see a lonely MJF for a while taking some beats by Wardlow?
I think Wardlow gets one beat, and then we get an MJF transition into something bigger and better. Because you have to finish the story.
You have
but
to.
I think MJF's going to be pissed about it, but I don't think it's going to lead to a prolonged series of matches.
Okay.
I think this just transitions MJF to the bigger picture.
Cole, that we've Page been talking about. Whoever, yeah.
Cole Page, we're going to the title match now.
Yeah. And I think it's time. I do.
Yeah, I agree.
Lethal and Mox, another match that I want to watch more of.
Yeah.
I need more Lethal on TV. And I think
agreed.
I think we're going to get it now again with the whole I think what happened Saturday at Supercard and some contracts coming up, and I know people are going to shit on me, but like Marco Stunt's not coming back, and there's going to be others that are in that realm that you're not going to see anymore. The Christopher Daniels may be your favorite. He's probably not going to wrestle anymore. He's going to be in the back, or Kazarian hasn't been around for a while. Like all those mid-card heroes of the past that still can go. I think you're going to get the younger kids from like ROH, and I don't know, bigger names keep trickling over, and we'll get there. But holy schmoly, I know I said it was different, but is Khan spending too much?
It feels like he's getting overloaded with talent, and we're not going to be able to do much with it. But I think the benefit of having a separate company, it goes back to the brand split.
Yep.
They're going to be able to do it.
Yeah, I think so too.
Now have two. I think he had too many on his roster in AEW, but with the new brand, you have enough for two.
Yeah,
it's almost like the WWE scenario you had in 2001, 2002. There was so much talent open that they were trying to grab up at once. They had to do the brand split. So I think this just puts forward another case for that brand split.
I agree. And again, I'll reference, like, Mercedes Martinez is a big name to have in the women's division. Have her come over and do a couple jobs and then get a victory or, you know, here and there, is that money well spent? Well, now going forward, she's a women's ROH champion or interim or whatever the hell they're calling it, but she's got the title right now. That makes sense. That's why he brought her over to transition. Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah, and he has the cards in place, and that also provides the stepping stone for if they go with a younger, talented woman to take the title off of her.
Yep.
That provides that big name win to get it, to put that person even further up.
Agreed. FTR against the Ass Boys, MJF on commentary. Who didn't see Billy Gunn getting involved in this and this turning out just to be a complete shit show?
I for one, was shocked.
For real?
No.
Oh. You pulled the wool over my eyes there. I'm like, are you serious?
I had to deadpan that. Billy Gunn was getting involved. There was no way he wasn't.
I didn't see somebody coming through the freaking stage, though, this early. Not through the stage, through the crowd. I thought it was going to be another week or so. And then, nope. War Dog.
The War Dog was there.
Yeah.
And he was trying to get in there. I was hoping he'd get... I knew he wasn't going to get contact with MJF, but I was hoping he'd get further into the crowd or further out of the crowd. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Just
closer.
Closer, but that he can at least not spit on him, because that's ruthless and disgusting. But, you know, close enough to do something like that. Flick a toothpick at him or something. Yeah.
Exactly.
Excited to see where that goes. Your homeboys, the Jackass Society...
No, I'm sorry. I did love that they got jumped at first, and then did not like that they got the better of Kingston, Santana, and Ortiz. But
yeah, I ask you, Mr. Sir Michael Jenks, who's joining Kingston and Ortiz and Santana to even these numbers out? Because somebody's got to. Otherwise, it's 5-on-3 beatdown. We're not going to get a good rivalry here.
So my thought is this is building up for essentially a War Games match of blood and guts. I think it just turns into that double cage scenario. I think Sammy's going to come. I think they're going to be done with Paige and Huskis sooner rather than later. And I think Sammy comes to their aid at some point. And then I don't know who the fifth guy is. I don't know if it's going to be a new person or what. That one I don't know.
I have, well, I just shot it out of my head. I'll tell you what I was thinking.
Okay.
Homicide Hernandez. But Homicide is the junior champion at NWA right now. I know clearly he can float because they're recorded 6 months ahead of time until they get the blah, blah, blah. But I thought that the whole LAX kind of thing and then Eddie with them can kind of put a nice little ribbon on that.
Yeah.
But it depends on what, I don't know what either one of them are doing. Hernandez, not at all, but he's always talked about in Homicide NWA right now.
Yeah. The part of the reason I said Sammy was because Jericho has been running down Sammy too.
Yeah.
He hasn't let him out. So I feel like that has to be a payoff at some capacity. Outside of that, I have no idea, unless they have a name in their back pocket from WWE that they want to use. I highly doubt, but I couldn't. Maybe it's Hernandez. Maybe it is Homicide. Homicide's shown up before in AEW.
Yes.
So the writing's there. Maybe it's not Hernandez. Maybe it's just Homicide. But man, whatever this, I think it's just going to lead to a big brutal war at some point, whether that's at Double or Nothing or that's before. It's going to all come to a head.
Jade was given leave of Bates, but she said she doesn't want her. And we have been speaking that the first person possibly to beat Jade was going to be Paige Van Zandt after she gets out of this little shtick she's in with Sammy and Ty.
Yeah.
We forgot about Maria Shafir.
We did.
Wow, blatantly forgot about her. This is a big name. She's a, you know, big UFC-er. She was part of the Four Horsewomen.
Yeah.
Is she the one that takes Jade down?
They certainly built her up that way on Dark and Elevation. I mean, undefeated. It's two strings going at it at that point. I don't know if she does, but I feel like that is actually a very good match that I think a lot of people want to see. And want to see, it provides that will she, won't she beat her mentality to it.
I will be devil's advocate.
Okay.
Because I like to be it. I think it's just another notch for Jade. Because she's ran through the roster two or three times to get these wins. Now she's going to face somebody that's also ran through the roster two or three times, essentially. Saphir is not ready yet. She hasn't been on TV yet. We don't really, you know, she's been on Dynamite and all Elevation, all that. I mean, Dark and Elevation, all that. We don't know what she has unless you're watching those the whole time. The normal audience knows the name, but doesn't know what she can bring. So the name value's there against Jade. Did she squeak a win? Yeah. It's not going to be, you know, her against, you know, Tammy Smith or anything like that.
It's not, yeah. Nothing against Liberia, but it's definitely not going to be her showing up. And maybe she does. Is this Leva Bates' opportunity to be set up for the surprise victory? I'm just joking on this, Mark.
But
I know you were dead quiet, so I wanted to put that out there. But hey, maybe they're building up Leva Bates. Who knows? But I don't know. I just, outside of Paige, I don't see who would be the next person to beat Cade.
Yeah.
I guess outside of one former champion.
Well, yeah.
But we'll get there when we get there.
She's not coming around AEW until April 20th. So she doesn't give two shits about it right now. Is that who you're talking about?
I was talking about one in the company.
In AEW?
Yeah. All right. We're on the same page. Yeah.
DMD.
Yeah.
But she's not coming around AEW until AEW's in Pittsburgh. So she's,
right, I get that.
She's got two more weeks before she shows her face because she's still pissed off.
That's fair.
So she would be the first champ across the board, right?
Yeah, it would be, yeah.
Yeah.
Champ. You know what's interesting now that you said that, and this is fantasy booking something else, I bet we get Thunder and Nyla, Pittsburgh and Britt, and DMD shows up.
Oh, yeah.
Now that you say that, I didn't even think of that. Yeah, that's probably going to happen there.
Yeah. Yeah. We touched on Danielson and Yuta. Any more you want to talk about on that? Because that's just a match you need to watch again.
It is. Yuta continues to step up. Love that he countered out of cattle mutilation. I thought that was fantastic. Again, Yuta, impressing week to week to week.
The Undisputed Elite is officially, I think, their name after months of not knowing what the hell they were called. I love the duct tape on stupid little things, Jenks. Make me pop. And I wish they would have held them like for one more week. Like, I understand that Jurassic Express and Hangman could have came out, got their asses beat, but they still slid out and made sure they grabbed the titles to run away with them. So with them stealing them last week and only essentially giving them back, that kind of bummed me out. They should have held them for, you know, at least another week.
I agreed. And force the issue to have maybe a match for him or something like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Another trios match for him, but.
Yeah. Shitty party planner they have, by the way. Shitty party planner.
Only 5 balloons. I was disappointed.
I know.
Maybe Kyle was very disappointed. That's why he sat down in the ring.
Well, he was drunk. He had a lot of champagne in the back.
I mean, he did have a lot of champagne, but only 5 balloons can depress people.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
And Hangman has a Tesla? Are you fucking kidding me?
With bullhorns on the front of it.
Right. I thought he only had a horse. JBL. I thought he only had a horse.
Well, you know what? You get horsepower in many ways, Mark. Whether it's in a car or in a horse, you're welcome.
That sucked.
It did, but it would work.
It did work. So we get to the Owen Hart Foundation qualifier, and the bunny's in the ring. And this is where I speak of, holy shit, we're signing people again.
Yep.
This shocked me. I had heard nothing about this, that Tony Storm is now All Elite.
That was, it. To me, it felt like it was Tony Storm, or it could have only been a couple other people, and I can't think of them off the name, but I didn't think it was Tony Storm. I thought she was doing her other things right now and was not looking forward at wrestling. I thought she was looking forward to her marriage and all that stuff and kicking off new sites and whatnot. I was surprised by this.
So let me ask you this. Is this her tournament to win? Because she's been boned over at the Mae Young Classic.
She has been. I don't know. Because I need to know who else is in this tournament.
Right.
We know Jamie Hayter is. I don't think that's somebody that's going to beat her. I think Storm and Hayter are going to face in the tournament at some point. I feel like it would be a disservice to Storm if she doesn't at least make it to the finals.
Agreed.
In my opinion. She has to make it to the finals. It's kind of the Ruby Riot or the Ruby Soho scenario with that tournament, with the TBS title, or yeah, TBS title tournament. She's got to get to at least the finals.
Yeah. Well, bringing that name back up, there's another person that needs to do something.
Yeah.
So is that your finals that you just gave away?
Would love it.
I would love it. I would. I clearly love it. And I don't know, I'd actually pull more for Ruby to win it. Because she has not done anything. I don't know.
I think Ruby's been put in a position where she's done well to put others over, but yeah, she deserves this one.
Yeah.
Right. And I think you're right. I think Ruby will be in it. Will they give it to her though? I don't know. I have to see the field. I have to know who the field is before I can make a decision on that.
And we don't know the field yet because we're still getting qualifiers until May, essentially.
Which I love about that.
I do too.
I do love that they're forcing people to qualify.
So. Yes. And then we're going to get the big bracket reveal. And yeah, I'm excited about that. Main event on Dynamite was Darby and Andrade. And we had two matches. We legit got two matches. One prior to the bell. Remsburg says, "Are you sure you don't have to do this?" And Darby's like, "Let's fucking go."
Right.
God. But then it got a little sticky with Vince McMahon, Jose coming out. Did you see him walking like Vince McMahon?
Yeah, like a power walk going down. Yeah, I never saw it.
Did you see Sting almost fall when he clotheslined him as well?
I did. It's a calamity of error at that point. But yeah, Sting almost collapsing over Vince Light. The Hardys, I'm sorry. I think Jeff needs to stop doing the Swanton.
Yeah.
That looked horrific. I can't remember his marker, which one it was, but oh my God, that did not look comfortable for either man to take.
Almost as bad as a rolling senton dropkick off the top rope, which we'll talk about next week.
Yes, yes. I wanted to bring that up. That looked terrible too, but God, that looked so painful for both guys. I think it might have been because he was a week away from jumping 20 feet off the side of a wall, but
yeah, he couldn't adjust the atmosphere and there's a lot of physics that he must have messed up from week to week.
Oh yeah, not to mention he's 45 years old, probably not walking right.
Right. All right, couple more minutes, folks. So let's transition over to Rampage, and again, Mark is on his soapbox and has to say, "Slow the fuck down." There was legitimately 20 segments that they just bombarded into this hour. And I think they would have got more in if they would have cut. Get ready. Here comes the hate. If they would have cut some of the Bucks in Top Flight's fucking dance maneuvers. The Bucks win. You can talk about the match if you want to. This is where I didn't care. It's that match. It's way too spot heavy. There's more, and I'm not saying dancing like the waltz or anything, but you know, it's you're doing this to get to this to do something big. It's the spots. Every match with that, and these two teams are filled with that. That's why I can't stand it. I need the Bucks against FTR. I need the Bucks against, you know, Darby and Sting. One can do it when there's two people doing the same moves. Big spots, I lose it. I lose my shit.
Yeah. So, for me, I mean, I'm not going to get too much into the match itself, but what I'll say is this match seemed like to just be the oh, hey, the Bucks haven't wrestled in a while. Let's put them out here to get them a win before the FTR fight.
Yep.
That's all this match seemed like. And then it was, to your point, we'll get the Young Bucks and Top Flight their shenanigans in too, because with that match against FTR, we're not going to get this. We're not going to get these hack line maneuvers for the most part. It's going to be very, I won't say very slimmed down, but it'll be, FTR is going to negate it a lot.
Yeah.
So this was one of the things to get Young Bucks out there, get them flippy, get everything flippy floppy and happy. And then we're getting into the serious business next Wednesday. So it just felt like, to your point, it was two of the same teams facing each other. Most of the time that does not work.
Exactly.
For anything. But it was essentially to get a win on the Young Bucks so that they can go into FTR and feel like a threat, per se.
Yeah. And they are always a threat. I mean, come on.
They are. Yeah, they are. I'm not saying they aren't, but yeah.
Build up for Statlander. She's going to speak. She's going to say something. I'm like, oh, cool. We're actually going to get her saying some words to Layla. Welcome to the other side of Chris Statlander. What is the other side of Chris Statlander?
Yeah, I don't know. Is it, did Danhausen turn her into a secondary version of Danhausen? I don't understand.
Yeah.
More content. More content, more context. What are we getting? Are we getting a Cactus Jack like character here? What's going on here?
The three faces of Statlander. Yeah.
Three faces of Statlander.
Your homeboy, Huskus Lambert, came out. And Paige Van Zandt was fucking spot on with the freshly squeezed joke.
Yeah.
I love the poor humor taste jokes that they threw out real quick. Again, though, it was quick. Like, hey, we're here. Okay, bye. Boo-da-ba. And then Sammy and Ty just beat the shit out of their vehicle.
Yeah.
All right.
Yay. Putting it over. That's what it was. It was just building up the match more. I don't know. Anytime Lambert comes on, I just mute it, to be honest. I just can't with him anymore. But that's just me.
I thought we'd get to hear words from Hook, Danhausen, that clearly Hook can't be have a spell put on him.
So this is telling me, though, it's building up the Danhausen's debut match where he's going to get annihilated by Hook.
Yes.
Apparently.
Yes.
I'm all for it.
I'm all for it. Yeah. I hope it at least dances.
Yeah. Agreed.
Yeah. A couple things on this next match. House of Black against Fuego, Uno, and Grayson. And House of Black win easily, whatever. Here are my questions. Will the Dark Order ever rise to the group they once were, Jenks?
No.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. There's no other answer. I mean, unless they get a new leader and get a dramatic changeover, no, it's not going to happen.
And they're always going to be the comic do-gooders from the rest of the way out.
They are.
And that's sad, because this was when AEW started, this was an ominous type of group. They all wore masks for a little bit. They lost it. Brody came in. We had the unfortunate passing of Brody. They kind of ran a little bit after that. And now they're just a shtick.
Mm-hmm.
Which this doesn't make sense now. So maybe some of their contracts are coming to the wayside. I hope that I will push for some of them. Johnny Hungy. But some of the other ones, you can go away and I'll be all right.
That's true. There's some of them that can be bigger stars in the company. And I think Hungy and Reynolds should at least get a run with the tag titles or in that perspective instead of just one-off matches for them. But you're right. I haven't seen Colt Cabana in I don't know how long besides ROH.
Yeah.
What's he doing with them? I know he's did a lot of work in Australia for AEW, I think, for a while or something down there, but it seems like it's that time where unless there's going to be a dramatic change in character, they need to just move away and have these guys go their separate ways.
Yeah. And that's sad. That's sad. That because I thought when Brody came and took it over, I thought we're going to have, you know, at least some point, all of them have a title and just like decimate AEW.
And that, they were on the uptick. Yeah, that's for sure.
Yeah. We spoke about maybe Bray was coming or this, that. That's not happening now. That's not happening. Hater defeats Sky Blue. I really like Sky Blue. She's been in and around AEW a few times. She was actually in one of the first Battle Royals. She's somebody to watch. Again, are we going to get one of these, air quote, youngsters into the realm of this tournament to maybe be a bracket buster? Because I thought this was going to be more for the youngers to go over, essentially. Tony Storm went in the first match. Clearly changes my perspective of this whole paper, this whole tournament. I love it. Don't get me wrong. But I think it's not for the youngers anymore.
I've always taken the perspective of it's for the women that aren't getting the spotlight that they need. This gives them that unique opportunity to get out there, like a Hater. She's been relegated to Brit's muscle for a long time. So it gives them that spotlight. You bring up an interesting point about the bracket buster, but who do you pick for that? To do that, I think there's only one person that could be that bracket buster. And I don't say I know that one person. I'm just saying there's one person that they picked to be a bracket buster, and that's the only one in the tournament that's actually going to start tearing things apart. But then I guess that eliminates the fact of, is it Tony and Ruby? Or is it Tony and this new person? Is it Ruby and this new person? You know what I mean?
Right.
Because essentially you'd have to have that one person, I think, get to the finals. Because there's only two rounds. There's only the quarterfinals and the semifinals, and then it's the finals.
Right.
So you have to have them get to the finals to really break up that tournament bracket.
Yeah, like Kylie and King is somebody that's around there. Maddie Ronskowski, Sky Blue, like any one of those three have all been like lingering around. Plus, they're also connected with Thunder Rosa. Not saying that there's a stroke there, but they know that it's not me or you jumping in the ring. Maybe not trained well or something. Something like that. That Rosa can vouch for them. There's all these politics, and I thought, well, maybe this is going to be like that tournament. Yeah, I am literally throwing that out the window now.
So. Yeah, I would have to agree with you. I don't think that this tournament is that. I think, to your point, though, there's one person that's going to be running through it and shocking people.
Yeah. Then we get to the main event of Keith Lee and Hobbs. You want to talk about two big men slapping meat? That was this match.
That it was. Two beefy men slapping me. It was everything you could ask for out of them. But it didn't take it to the next level, which is, I think, interesting in that aspect. It kind of left more to be desired, if you will.
Yes. Because so many people got involved then.
Yeah, I agree. There's too many people involved by the end. I think it was Swerve, Starks. It got kind of convoluted at some point, but
17 tables. They're setting up for a tables match, clearly.
Oh yeah, for sure. Tag team tables match next week on Rampage, but there's a lot going on in this match. I did like Hobbs hitting that spinebuster on Lee though.
Yes,
that looked impressive. Big Bang Catastrophe obviously was great, but that spinebuster, man.
Chef's kiss.
Yeah.
All right. That's essentially the week in wrestling. Jenks, do you have? We're getting close enough. Next week, very heavy WrestleMania.
Yes.
Meaning probably an hour and a half of WrestleMania, and we'll see how we shake out. What we think, what night was better? What matches were better? What matches should have been skipped besides New Day and Ridge and Sheamus. So, yeah. See what kind of shenanigans they pull tonight on WrestleMania. So, I hope everybody enjoys WrestleMania. I'm not giving you my rating yet, but overall, my little spoiler, I've been all right with it. I've enjoyed it.
Yeah. Going off of that same aspect, no spoilers, but I would say there's probably three matches that I'm good, that really excited me, and the rest were, okay. So we'll get into that next week, but yeah, I agree with you. It's okay. We'll see what night two can bring and what kind of stupidity Johnny Knoxville brings to this Anything Goes match.
Yes. Jinx, you have one classified as a match. I have one classified as a elongated moment. I'll put it that way. So people can figure that out. Yeah.
Yeah, that's fair.
So on paper, yes, but
I get where you're coming from with that.
So. Yeah. All right. You have anything else? What do you got going on this week?
This week, nothing much. Returning to the office for the first time
in 2 years.
In 2 years, only for a day.
Oh,
And then after that's done, I'll be back home until we figure out when I actually go back full time or hybrid schedule. So that's about my week, is preparing to not make an ass of myself when I'm in person. So what about you?
I have no clue. Honestly, I have no clue what's going on this week. I have nothing for the radio. I may have an interview depending on, you know, what shakes down on her schedule. She's pretty busy. I'm not giving a name out yet. I have it essentially in the hopper. I have all the, you know, paperwork and everything done. Just we have to figure out a time. She's a morning person. I work in the mornings. She doesn't like doing stuff at night. I'm very open at night. Nice. We'll figure it out.
Get that happy medium.
The happy medium. Other than that, video games. This might be my chill week that I've been waiting for.
Very nice.
And we'll have a tag team tournament up on the Facebook page at some point as well.
I was gonna say we gotta get that tag team now.
Yeah.
I know. Find out the champs.
I know. But we have to put tag teams together, actually. So that's half the battle. Is I don't know who the fuck I'm gonna put together.
I just have a feeling that Brody King's gonna be involved in some capacity.
Duh. He's getting a title somehow.
I feel like you should just Vince McMahon and just go out there and do a Survivor Series 98. Not even go 97. Go Rock. Put over Rock over Mankind.
Done. Boom. There you go. Done. All right, brother. I'm going to sit in my studio today and enjoy everything, my hard work of yesterday, and just say, damn, I did a good job.
You do that. Enjoy it. And take it all in.
You have a great day with your lovely lady. I love you. And remember, just because you're trash doesn't mean you can't do great things.
It's a garbage can, not a garbage cannot. Love you, man.